Real good podcast. All right, guys, we are back at it. Now, I'm just letting you know, we're doing a special podcast right now with someone very far away, so he's not in the same room as us, which means, unfortunately, we had to disconnect the main mic. So the sound quality might take a hit, and I apologize for that. Now, let's get into it. Today, we have a special podcast. It's with our great friend from Alabama, so he's across the world right now. He goes by Big Z, and we're going to call him Big Z. Big today. He's a great guy. Great guy. Now, Big Z, are you there?
Guys, I am here, and I'm ready to rock and roll. Dude, that now, intro Z, got now, me fired up.
Big guy over there, he was giving us some flack about our previous podcast, saying they weren't living up to his standards, and he said, I can do better than that. So we said, you know what? We're going to give you a chance. And he came through. He's here with us now.
It's good to be here.
Okay.
It's been a tough road, but I finally got here.
Oh, yeah. Now, big guy, today's topic we're going to talk about is, it's going to be a fun one. It is
relationships.
Ooh. Okay.
So you're an expert in this field, Big Z.
Not an expert, but as close as you can get to one.
Yeah, here's the thing. We all have a little experience. I'm on my second girlfriend now. And,
nice.
The first one was very, just, it was nothing. It lasted about 8 months and it was crap. But I'm on my second one now, so I've got two under my belt. And
nice.
You have just one, Zach?
Yes, I have dated one girl, and I have dated her for 7.5 years. We met when I was 16, and high school sweethearts followed each other to college and then got married. So, living the dream.
You're adorable.
Big Z, you're a sweetheart.
What a freaking
sweetheart. You know, he's a better man than me.
You know, I'm on my third divorce. So I'm going to have a different angle on this one than the two of you.
Okay. Now, I will say something that is interesting is I have been with a Western woman, and I have also been with a Chinese girl, currently with a Chinese girl. So I have a bit of experience in two separate, very different markets, and that's going to be interesting to discuss that. But what we're going to do first, Big Z, are you ready? What we're going to do is we're going to start by asking, how do you personally approach starting a relationship? So if you find a girl that you're interested in, how do you go about making the move to get that thing started and kicked off?
Right. So I want to start off by saying that I am a Christian. And so a lot of my relationship talk and stuff will be geared towards Christian thoughts and Christian ideas. And so I met my wife now in church. And so really growing up, the whole idea of getting a woman was foreign to me because in my household, I only was with women. Like it was my mom, it was my sister. We had a dog that was a girl. I mean, just females all around. And so I was taught to respect women, right? Respect them with everything that you got. But at the same time, there's that feeling, you know, deep down inside of every man that they just want to go out and get a woman. And so I think if I had to start today, it'd be a little bit different in that I would probably try to use humor a lot because I feel like laughter and smiling and stuff is really the way to a girl's heart. That makes sense?
Well, yeah. Zach, now I kind of want to date you.
It works. It works.
That was beautiful. Whatever you're pitching, I think it's going to work.
So now here's the thing. So with the girl that you have right now, you said you met her in church. Now, when you met her,
right?
Because you said now you're going to use humor. Now, what did you use at the time?
Oh, every church pickup line in the book.
Is a church pickup line? Were you like the guy that had the guitar and was like singing in front of a youth group and the girls were like, oh my gosh.
No, I wish. I mean, there are girls crawling over that guy all the time. I really was like a leader in the group that I was in. And so that helped out a lot because the face and the body are not really going for me. And so being a leader really helped. And so just being the good guy and being the one that we would do Bible clubs where we'd be with a bunch of, I guess, poor kids, you could say. And so picking them up and hugging them went a long way.
So your sweetness was really your main angle. Just being a sweetheart, just being an adorable guy who she this is a quality
and
guy right here. This is the man I want.
For sure. And a fun loving guy too. I think that's very underrated.
And if you know Big Z is a fun loving guy.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I love fun. Fun loves me. But I really feel that the fun, the outgoing, making a good time of everything is really underrated because I think girls are making a shift. Intellectual girls, let me say that, are making a shift towards always going for the bad boy like you see in Hollywood, and you still see it in Hollywood today. They're making that shift and realizing that those type of bad boys really suck. And they just want somebody that they can have fun with and make the best of every situation.
Well, I think after a certain age, they start getting like that because they realize that when they were 20 years old, 19 years old, when they dated the 25-year-old guy that had a lot of confidence that approached them and told them they were beautiful, that didn't work out so great for them. Yeah. So now they're 26 years old and they've been through the ringer with these douchebag guys, basically. And so now they see the nice guys. So if you're a leftover guy, late 20s, and you're just a phenomenal individual, that's going to turn on a lot of girls. And they're going to be like, okay, I think I might need to give this a shot. But if dude, if you're that 19-year-old college guy, you're not going to get a lot of chicks by being the nice guy.
Yeah, that's true.
You might find a quality one. You might be like you, and you find a really quality girl, and you find her that way, which is way better than being the guy with confidence and getting a bunch of sleazy girls, you know?
Right.
I think it's better because you find a higher quality girl. But you're not going to be out being a ladies' man.
Right.
Being the nice guy.
I'll say this, too. Since we're kind of headed this way, I think that people put way too much emphasis on the physical aspect of relationships. Because what ends up happening is either A, you lose your virginity to that guy and you just feel stuck to that person. I mean, it is like a intimate physical thing that happens, right?
Yeah, especially it's the most intimate you can be with another human.
Right, exactly. And so creating that bond, and we all know that bond means different things to women than it does to men. And so whereas men, it's like, I just wanted to be able to tell my friends that
I
did
Big
this
Z,
with
you're
you.
A sensey guy, though.
Right. That's true. That's true. But at the same time, like, my wife and I, like, we waited until marriage to, have sex?
No! God, no!
But we waited till our marriage night to have sex. And I felt like that was one of the things where, because we didn't feel super attached. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because it's hard to leave somebody knowing that you've had sex with them.
Yeah. Now that's a pretty foreign concept in today's dating world in the United States. Mm-hmm. You tell somebody you don't want to have sex with them, they think something's wrong with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, I'm gonna let you know real quick that we gotta get to things quicker than what we've currently done because we're already at about 10 minutes and we haven't even gotten anywhere. So we gotta really just keep that in mind, all right? So I'm gonna move on. Well, first off, let's quickly go because we only asked how you got girls. So let's quickly. Here's how I would say in today's market how I would get a girl or approach getting a girl is. I just be really nice, be really friendly, be very just like a good person when I'm around that girl and show the girl that I care about her. So if she ever tries to like, hey, Patton, blah, 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 and tries to say something to me, crap.
Yeah.
I'm going to give her my full attention, and I'm just going to show that your time is totally worth it for me. Like, I'm down to spend my time with you. That's pretty much the only thing I'm going to do. I don't flirt, really. I don't really show, like, oh, I'm going to do this little cute thing. I think she'll like this. I'm just kind of me being really nice and really attentive. And I think that, for me, works really well. But in America, not so much. I didn't really get a lot of girls.
Yeah, Pat didn't get the most girls in America. But he didn't have the same confidence he does now. And confidence goes a long way with American girls. And I would say that's probably the number one thing. If you just exude confidence in yourself, that goes a long way with girls. Mm. And then also, if you don't try too hard, a lot of American guys, especially like the guys who are genuinely like just good guys, they usually don't have the most confidence. And then they go in and approach a girl and they try too hard to get her. They try to show affection too much. And I feel like that's a huge turnoff.
Yeah, for sure.
And I know it's a huge turnoff because when a girl shows too much interest in me, I'm completely turned off. I'm like,
okay, Mr. Stud. No girls ever showed interest in me.
Well, crap, man. We're talking about King of China over here.
That is a thing. So that's pretty much the approach I've taken. I always feel unnatural and like I'm not being myself if I were to do something flirty. I feel like it's just not who I am. So for me, I'm never going to do anything that's not me. If it's not me, I'm not going to do it. Because it's just, it feels fake and forced, and it's just like, it's not going to work. And that's the thing. I probably could have gotten more girls than I thought I could have gotten in America. But I just, I don't know. I never really had a lot of confidence going into talking to them. You know, my heartbeat would always just be like pumping, and it's just like, oh, it was
I think now, too, if you were in the United States, you could get a lot more girls a lot easier.
Yeah.
Because, you're 27.
Yeah.
Other guys who are 27 years old in the United States don't keep up with themselves like you do. They're not, a lot of them let themselves go. They're not professional. They don't have a good job. They don't take their life very seriously. And so a girl's going to see at 27 years old, the other girls in your marketplace are going to see you and be a lot more into you now than they were when they were 20 years old into the douchebag who was in the gym taking selfies of himself. I
agree with that.
A lot more likely to go for the Patton now than they were when Patton was 20 years old.
Yeah,
I agree. All right, so with that being said, let's move on to stage number two. Now, stage number two is you've gotten the girl, and now the question is, what kind of relationship are you going for? Are you going for, oh, I want us to be mutual. Like, everything we do, we have this equal amount of control over the situation. Do you go for, I'm going to play the leadership role? Do you go for, I'll just do whatever the heck she wants because that's the way it is? Like, what do you aim to get out of, like, when you're in a relationship, what do you aim for when it comes to the overall, who wears the pants, what's going on, and how much control each person
has? Yeah, and, like, are you spending all of your time with your girl?
Yeah,
or can you go spend time with your friends and her not get mad at you?
Yeah.
Is she checking in constantly with you?
Yeah.
So what type of relationship?
Right.
How
All women are needy. All women are needy. Let's establish that. She's not. She's in the other part of the house right now. I felt like our relationship was a good balance because we set the tone of the relationship pretty early. And I had a lot of guy friends, and I still do. Moving on to college, you know, you find different groups of guys to hang out with and just be a part of. And I felt like because we established that in Montgomery, when we made the transition to college in Jacksonville, Alabama, Roll Tide, we were able to carry it over, and it worked for us. And when we first got to Jacksonville, she was in the band. She was a marching ballerina. And so that freed me up to do a lot of the stuff I like to do, like play basketball, which is where I met you, and then ultimately where I met the host of this show. And so it was able to lead to a lot of good friendships. But I think control in a relationship is never what anybody thinks it is. And if you just try to control a person, they're just going to get upset. That makes sense?
I feel you on that. Like, you're never like, hey, now, from day one, you realize I'm going to have control of this relationship. Like, nobody's saying that.
Right.
It's like, you know when you're in the relationship, it, like, for example, let's say your girl is saying, oh, I don't want you to go out with your friends now. I want you to stay with me. What do you do? Do you stay with her? And if you do, do you stay with her every time she asks that question? Or sometimes do you say, hey, you know, I'm going to do what I want to do.
And you
I'll
know,
let you go out with your
and
friends.
And you know that's going to end in a fight. Are you prepared to go through that fight? Are you prepared to be like,
yeah.
And you always, as the guy, look like the jerk. When she's like, you spend time with me, I'm your girlfriend, blah, blah, blah. You look like the jerk when you say, no, I've seen you 5 days this week. I'm going to go hang out with my buddies.
Right. Well, I think it boils down to just both people are just selfish people, right? So selfishly, I want to go hang out with my friends. And then selfishly, she wants me to stick around. And so in a relationship, like serving one another is a big key for us. And realizing when we're being selfish and when we're not. Because here's the thing. I know right now that in marriage, and even when we were just dating, that if she asked me to not do something, there was a really good dang reason that she was asking me to. It was never just a, oh, I just don't want you to hang out with friends.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But I understand that a lot of people are like that, and I think you just have to be prepared to take that fight and take that stand and say, look, I've had enough of you, right?
So you're saying you do take that stand and you do you go hang out with your friends, you tell them you're not going to be a cuck, if you will?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I mean, in reality, I don't think anybody was meant to spend 100% of their time with their significant other. And I know people like that, and it drives me crazy because it's like they can never have a moment to sit down and be with themselves. They never have a moment to think on their own. And it's the worst. It really is.
Okay. So now let's throw, because I'm curious what you're going to say about this. Let's throw a, no, I'm not going to throw a child in there. Okay. So no. All right. So you're saying that. Now, let's say your girl is doing something that you highly disagree with. Right? Like, let's say she's engaging in something that you are just like, let's say you are completely out on makeup, right? You freaking hate makeup and you cannot handle it. And she's spending all this money on lipstick and makeup and whatever else, and she refuses to stop and she's caking it on. What do you do?
Oh, gosh, that's a good question. I'm going to be interested to see what y'all have to say. But I think for me, it would kind of be something where, again, am I just being selfish? Is it just me not liking makeup? Because makeup is something cosmetic. Makeup is something where if a girl, like women just have so many, I don't want to say issues, but like self-image problems. Like, they just overly care about their self-image. And so if they think makeup could make it better, which obviously they do because there's literally billions of dollars in the makeup industry, but they want to go out and make themselves look better. And so at the end of the day, I'd have to say, like, okay, that's fine. But the spending money part would drive me insane. It really would.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I would just chalk that one up as a loss, too. I'd be like, because that's something going in. When you meet the girl, she's going to have the makeup on. So you're going to know she's into the makeup. Right. And so that's just one thing. You're not going to be able to change somebody. Like, people don't change. They are who they are. And if you try to change them, it creates problems.
For sure.
So that's one of those things. If you accept the girl enough to want to be with her, then you gotta take the full package and you got to take the makeup.
For sure.
Now, if she's going out to clubs or something in slutty clothes, that's something you can approach her and be like, look, this is not going to happen if you're going to be with me.
Right.
You know? Sure. But makeup, for me, that's just one of those things you have to chalk it up as a loss.
And I'll say this. Most of the time, you know, anything cosmetic like that, this has nothing to do with relationships, but anything cosmetic like that, girls are just doing that to impress other girls, you know?
I mean,
it's just a race within their own sexual orientation, not orientation, gender.
Well, tell me this. So you have, because I've, with my girl, she wears makeup and she has really, really good skin. Like, she wakes up in the morning and it's like, you can see her face, and she doesn't have any pimples. She doesn't have any weird, like, rashes or anything. she has very good skin, and a lot of Chinese do have very good skin. It's just like in their genes. But the thing is, I'll tell her, and she'll put on the makeup, and I'll say, "Why do you put on makeup? I actually think you look better without makeup."
Right.
But, you know, I'm sure 150 million guys have said that to the girl, but she really has good skin. So it's a shame to see her cover up her skin with makeup when she has good skin. It's like a waste.
Right.
So I'll tell her this stuff, and you expect her to be like, "Oh, you're so sweet." And then maybe a tip to be like, "Well, gosh, if my man likes me better without the makeup, then that's the only thing that matters, right?"
Yeah.
But the problem comes in is when they continue the makeup, they're like, "Oh, whatever, blah, blah." It makes you concerned because I know you're saying it's for the girls, right? Oh, they want to impress the girls. But do you think that there's zero part deep down in them that says, "Hey, I want guys to be attracted to me"?
Yeah.
You think that's and that's a scary thing, because that's a terrible thing.
Right.
Like, if you want guys to be attracted to you and you have your man, that's messed up, man.
Well, do you want girls to think you're handsome?
I do not give a crap.
Do you really not?
No, really not. Like, as long as my girl's like, "Oh my gosh, I love the way you look and I love you more than anything," I could care less than this thing. Like, if I go to a club in freaking Crocs, I don't give a crap. I'm not going to clubs, but the bottom line is,
have you gone to a club in Crocs? I feel like you have.
No, I don't go to clubs. The bottom line is, I really genuinely don't care what the other girls think of me. I'm not one of those guys that goes out when I have a girl and it's like, "Hey," like, let's say I work with a girl and I'm like super talkative, a bit flirty with them, and just like, "Oh, come on, I'm just having fun." It's like, no, I don't do that crap.
Right.
When I have a girl, I do not give a crap about the other women. I don't.
Right.
And it's like, I'll talk to them if I need to, but I'm not going to sit here and try to be like a hit with. But I feel like these girls with the makeup, they genuinely are trying to attract a male. I think it's like deep down rooted in them, and they can deny it all they want, but it's true. And that's bad. That's really bad. That's why I hate makeup.
Right.
Yeah.
So relationships?
Yeah, but that was just a little makeup.
I think that was a personal rant.
I think so too.
So yeah, that to me, like, I've told her time and again, I freaking hate makeup. Please don't wear it. Please don't wear it. She's not gonna stop wearing it, but I'm never gonna be like, "Well, you know, whatever, I accept it." I'm never gonna be a fan of it. And honestly, like, lipstick. It's really difficult to kiss your girl if she has lipstick on, because you know you're gonna get crap on your face. It's like, I don't want crap on my lips. I don't want that. It's like, it's so annoying.
Yeah, dude. For sure.
But so that's a huge problem. Me personally, I'm gonna tell her how I feel. I'm never gonna just like accept it. But, well, that's the way it is.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna do it. Do I realize it's not gonna change? Yeah, but I'm still upset about it.
Right.
Okay, so moving on. I want to cover this topic because I think this is interesting. So this is going to be the topic of living with your girlfriend or not. And if you're living with your girlfriend, what are the pros? And if you're not, what are the negatives? And I think this will be really interesting because, you know, there's arguments on either side. And I'm curious to see what you think about both sides. So living with your girlfriend or not, what do you think about that situation?
Yeah, well, this is a conversation I've had in my mind before when my wife and I were dating. Because we are Christians, you know, it's frowned upon to go off and just live with your girlfriend, right? It's considered just not good. But at the same time, I'm sitting here, right? My girlfriend has her own apartment that her parents pay rent for, right? And I'm sitting here paying, I wasn't paying a lot of rent, but I was still paying rent. So it's like, I could live with her for free, and she would cook, and she would do this, and she would do that. So, you know, like cost-wise, it just made a lot of sense.
And you're probably over there all the time anyway.
Right. Because one of the difficult things was we would hang out, we would eat dinner, we would talk, whatever. And then be like, "Okay, let's watch a movie." And then it'd be like 11:30 at night. And it's like, I really, at that point, never actually wanted to get up out of the sofa, the comfy sofa, get in my car and drive home.
Yeah.
And so I think that convenience and cost wise, it made a lot of sense. But then,
but you know, if you're living with somebody, you're going to be extremely tempted to have sex with them.
For sure.
Yeah.
And if you're living with somebody, I would say, what, 99.9% of couples who are living together or are having sex?
Yeah, I would have to agree with that. I mean, there's no way that you could live together, be in the same bed, sleep in the same bed, and resist those type of temptations.
But if you're, let's say you're not living with each other,
mm-hmm.
but you're still having sex.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any point in not moving in together?
That's the question right there.
Because if you're having sex anyway.
Right. Well, I think it just depends on what point in the relationship you're in. Because if you're in beginning stages of relationship, going and living with somebody is a big, big step and a big commitment. Yeah. And no two people live the same way. I've lived with four or five different people in college, and they all had different styles of living, right? Some that I agreed with.
And then one of those people was a complete freak.
Yeah, and he happened to have the same last name as you. But no, I mean, people have different schedules. One of my roommates played on the, quote unquote, played on the football team. So he'd be up at like five. I mean, he'd be up at like 5 or 5:30 every morning, clanging around, claiming he had to eat breakfast and, you know, cook loudly because he had to get to football practice. And I'm sitting here like, you're on the practice squad. Who gives a crap if you have a good breakfast? There's so many different components.
You and your wife did not live together before?
Correct. At all?
So did you run into a lot of those problems where it's like, holy crap, I did not realize she did this?
Oh, for sure. My wife is an OCD clean freak, and I am not.
I remember.
I did laundry once a month. She does it once a day. You know, they're just such different things. Like she grew up eating, what is that stuff? Hamburger Helper for dinners, right? I grew up, my mom was cooking like 3-star restaurant meals, right? And so that's what I would cook for myself. And so there are just a lot of different things. And honestly, until we met, I'd be in bed at like 10 and she wouldn't go to sleep till 1. But now, now we're married, it's like I don't go to sleep till like 1:30.
Okay, well, tell me this, dude. Tell me this. Do you think, like Joseph was, like Big Al was saying. If you are having sex, and let's say you're just like, you know, maybe you're religious, maybe you're not, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, you don't really think much about that. Mm-hmm. If that's the situation, and you've been together for, let's say, a year and a half, do you think you're better off moving in together before you get engaged or married, or not moving in together? What do you personally think?
Personally, I would think no. And this is why, not worrying about the religious aspect of it. Living together is such a big commitment that unless you've already made a significant commitment, i.e. engaged or married, you're going to be a lot less willing to stick around if things go south. Like if you get in there before you're engaged or married, you have a much easier situation just to give up, right?
Yeah, you have a much easier out.
Right. Here's the thing. Like, if you've been together for a year and a half, so clearly you like this person. Now, if things go really, really bad, is that not an advantage that you're not married and you're not committed legally and you can easily get out? Is that not an advantage?
Yeah, I would say that's an advantage. I mean, I'd agree with you on that. But I just think that that advantage far outweighs the disadvantage.
So with what you're saying that if you're married, then it's not so easy to get out and you're kind of like, oh, well, things suck, but let me just stick it out because we're married. Isn't that kind of sad?
Yeah. Yes.
You feel stuck to this miserable person?
Yes and no. I feel like if you're married, I feel like it's more of a, we can stick to this and fight it out and come to a conclusion. That makes sense.
Yeah, but then if you're not thinking about it religiously, you probably don't give a crap anyway because you're like, well, if we don't work out, then I'll just find somebody else and then we'll be together.
Yeah, that's true. true.
Let me ask you this. Do you think there's advantages to doing the getting with the girl and doing it the old-fashioned, like, Christian-type relationship where it's like, we're not going to have sex. We're going to really get to know each other before we get a commitment. I'm going to realize that I really do love you. I want to spend the rest of my life with you. Then we're going to get engaged. Then we're going to get married. Then we're going to move in together. Do you think there's advantages to doing it that way? Even if you're not religious, do you think just like not for, do you think that's the better way to do it and why?
I would say it is the better way to do it because you figure out so much more about a person than that. Because what we talked about earlier was that once you enter into the physical aspect of the relationship, once you start having sex, that's all the relationship becomes about is how many times can we do it in a day? I mean, like, seriously, like, that's all it becomes about. So what happens is you end up having sex and then all your problems get brushed under the rug because it's like, well, let's just have sex. Like, let's not even talk about the fact that you do laundry literally every single day and I do it once a month. Let's just have sex, right?
I think that's a bad argument. I'm going to come in and say why that's a bad argument. Because if that's your argument, then what you're saying is when you get married, literally your relationship is founded on sex and nothing more, right? That's what you're saying.
No. He's saying that you find out so much more about each other when you're not having sex. Because once you start if you're having an argument or a fight or something, you can have sex and those problems get pushed under the rug and you don't talk about them. You don't address them.
You just address sex. Right. You don't deal with your problems in a healthy way.
Yeah. And I could agree with that. So I think it's the better way to go too, because then when you're dating, you can really get to know somebody, everything about that person, and sex doesn't cloud it.
Right.
Because when sex starts clouding it, you start caring less about the mental part of the relationship and it's more the physical part of the relationship.
Right. Because here's the thing. I mean, in all reality, when you and I and the host sit down and talk about a relationship, right? Not a casual dating experience, but the R word, the relationship. You're in that relationship to determine, can I marry this person? Could I spend the rest of my life with this person?
Yeah.
And what happens is after, you know, the age of, I mean, I don't know what age it stops, but let's just say after the age of 30, right? When you don't have sex as much as you did when you were 20 to through 29, right? You're just going to sit there and look at each other and go, oh my gosh, I hate you.
Yeah.
You know, once that physical aspect fades away, right? And you have to deal with your problems, the ugly, once it rears its ugly head, you're not going to know what to do. And you're just going to be like, crap, why didn't I figure this out? Why did I waste all this time? And you're going to be like, well, crap, I was just here because sex.
Yeah, and the thing is, if you're with somebody, you're obviously attracted to them.
Right.
So, for sure. And if you're attracted to somebody, you're going to enjoy having sex with them.
Yeah, okay? For sure.
You don't have to worry about that.
No.
So when you're dating, you cannot have sex. You rest assured you're going to enjoy that part of the relationship later on.
For sure.
When that happens after you get married. Like, you're not gonna worry about
it. Right.
Okay, but can I come in here with this real quick? Do you feel like, let's say you hit that point where you're 30 and you're like, oh man, the sex isn't as good. Which, by the way, I think 30 will still be good. But
I think so too. I was just using it as an example.
I got you. But what I'm saying is by that point, surely – I know I would. I don't know about what your plans are, but I would probably have kids at that point. So when you have kids, don't those kind of help you get through the hard times because you can enjoy being a parent with your wife? Like, that's kind of like a bonding thing that y'all share together now.
Yeah.
Yeah, but again, another thing like sex to brush under the rug where it's like, oh, yeah, we're not addressing these issues. We're talking about the kids or whatever. You might still have underlying issues, but it might still be unhealthy.
Right. And two, kids suck. I mean,
kids will probably make it harder.
Kids do make it harder. And here's the thing is there have been countless, you know, accounts of people who have problems and to fix those problems, they just have a baby. Right. And what ends up happening is that you multiply those problems from two kids to three kids. right? Because once you have a kid enter into the equation, you have less money, less time, less energy. You literally have to devote so much of your life to that kid.
I had a teacher once warn me when we were leaving his class. It was the last time we were going to see him. What the warning he gave us was, he's like, look, if you're in a relationship and you're having problems, he's like, don't have kids. He's like, that's not going to fix your problems. That's only going to make them harder. And that was like one of the things he warned us about.
Yeah.
But I would much rather in a relationship not have to worry about the sex part. Because I'm confident that's going to be fine. If you're attracted to the girl, that's going to be fine. And I would rather just really get to know each other without that intimate attachment. Because let's say you get to know her really well over 6-7 months.
Yeah.
And then you're like, God, this girl's just not going to work out. You know how much easier it is to break that relationship off versus the one where you've been having sex for 3 months?
For sure.
There's a lot more emotions involved. It's a lot more messy. And it's so much easier to get out of it. Right. And if it ends up working out, when you actually do get together, you know how powerful of an experience that's going to be? It's going to be crazy.
Right. Well, too.
And the only benefit to premarital sex, to me, the only benefit is immediate gratification.
Right.
Oh, I'm going to get pleasure and enjoyment right now.
Right.
Guess what? 5 minutes after sex, there's no benefit to it.
Right.
There's only the list of negatives.
Right. Well, too, I mean, it gives you so much more to look forward to, because if you are in love with somebody on a mental aspect and emotional. If you're in love with somebody, dude, it left my brain. If you're in love with somebody on a mental and emotional level, right? You can, at that point where you're married, you can literally give your all to that person, right? Whereas if you're still just dating and you've dated for 6-7 months and you've had sex for 3 months, or you've dated for 3-4 months and you start having sex, there's so much less to that because you just you're holding so much back. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does make sense. I think I'm with you on that.
Okay.
Okay. Should we touch on a different topic real quick?
We got to wrap it up soon, but yeah, you have something good?
I was going to ask you about heartbreak, man. Have you ever had to deal with heartbreak?
Oh, heartbreak.
Me?
You guys ever have a time where she left you or you were done, you broke up, and it was like, you guys were mad, you had to deal with that?
No.
And then on top of that, with the backdrop question of, what's your favorite time period of the relationship? Does it keep getting better? Did you love the beginning the best? The middle, when you were just dating, when it was casual, you could go hang out with your friends? Or now that you're married, like, what parts do you like best? So I guess the heartbreak part first, and then let me know that.
Okay. So the heartbreak part is going to be the easiest because we've never had that situation.
What a sweetheart. And I knew you were going
to say that. I'm sorry. That's just the way it is.
You're like, this is like Sleepless in Seattle.
I'm telling you.
Any girl listening to this is going to fall in love.
Yeah, I'm telling you. I'm telling you. I literally hit the jackpot. One in a million on this. Because my situation is probably, honestly, one in a billion. Like, the odds of my situation happening are not very high. And so that is – so don't take away from this podcast like, oh, if I just be a nice guy, then the sky's the limit, right? Because it's not. Odds are you're going to find somebody that sucks and you're going to break up and it's going to cause heartbreak. But I'll say this, man. I don't know if I could define a best point in the relationship. I love the beginning because I like meeting new people and getting to know new people. Right, that's always fun.
Yeah, and the butterflies, man. The butterflies at the beginning when you're obsessed with that person, you think about them all the time.
I got the same feeling when I first met you in the basketball gym. It was great.
Mm.
But
I was thinking the same thing. I was about to say that.
Right. But the beginning is so fun, right? Because you're just getting to know each other. It's very casual, right? The middle part is, I guess, what we're still kind of experiencing now. being married and stuff. But it's so much fun because you've gotten to know this person. You can be real with them. And it's just good to have somebody you can be real with.
It's good. That you called that, I like that you called where you are the middle part.
Yeah.
That was deep because it's like there's still so much more for you guys to experience.
Exactly. I mean,
most people would say this is the end. We're married. This is the finish line. Dude, we did it.
Dude, this is what I'm the most excited about, and I'm about to get revved up here because
I can hear it in your
both
voice.
Of us.
You ain't gonna go too long.
It's okay. I won't go too long. Both of us came from like poor family or poor backgrounds, right? But we've been able to like go to college. We're both more than likely going to get good jobs. We both have a plan to like manage money, but we also both have a plan. Yeah, we are. But here's the thing. Amen. We both have plans to like travel. But how awesome is it going to be to travel the world and be able to experience it for the first time with someone else who's experiencing it for the first time that you love?
Oh, yeah.
Dude, it's going to be great.
Yeah, you're going to be able to do that. You're going to be able to experience kids. You're going to be able to experience getting older with her. You're going to be able to experience a lot, and it's going to be big.
And we're probably about to experience some great sexual activity right as soon as this podcast is over.
Wow, she's been listening, and she has gotten fired up. It works for you.
It does work. It does work. But I will say this, in summarization, I think Patton is right that if you try too hard, you're going to get shut down. Because if you try too hard, girls are going to think you only want one thing, right? Being the good guy.
Well, they're going to think you're pathetic.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
You're going to come off as weak.
Yeah. Control is just an illusion, right? You're a team. You know, that's like saying the quarterback controls the offense when literally if the offensive lineman didn't block for him, he'd be getting his A knocked on the ground every single play, right?
Look, we did the football podcast, okay?
Okay. I'm just making a metaphor.
The family, man.
Look, sports are the easiest metaphors for me. They just slide so smoothly. But, I just think that we're all smart. We're all relationship experts. In our own little way.
Okay.
Well, I think that's pretty. We pretty much wrapped it.
That's pretty much it, man. So we're gonna. I guess we'll end it. Yeah, we'll have you back on though.
Yeah, we'll have you back on. Trust me, you'll be a regular.
Yeah, you'll have to have me back on. I won't take no for an answer.
Okay.
Any final thoughts?
Yeah. Any Big final Z. thoughts? We just gotta give a final thought.
Final thoughts. Don't try too hard. Don't feel like you have to trap yourself into a relationship. And just have fun. Live life. And if they don't like the way that you live life, find somebody who will enjoy the way you live life.
Okay, Joseph.
I would say don't settle. So
good.
Just be happy being single.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't find somebody who is a phenomenal fit for you, don't settle for somebody who, oh, well, it's better than being alone.
Yeah.
Be happy being single. Be happy with who you are.
Yeah.
You find out a lot about yourself when you're alone and you are single.
True.
And then if that special person does just happen to come along, it's like, don't pass up that opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah. I like what you said. Don't give into the pressures of society that tell you you have to be married at a certain age. Good stuff, Jeff.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, and that's great advice. So mine, I guess, to do something different, because I agree with both of y'all. I guess for mine is when you find a woman, you need to make sure that she's going to be a quality more than just like, okay, so the most generic thing you can go for is, oh, she's sexy. I want to have sex with her. Like, that's the most generic you get, right?
Right.
So you want to branch off and make sure she's going to hit the key points. One of those points that's very important that a lot of people are going to overlook is being a mother. If you find a girl that's not going to be a quality mother, that's not probably the best idea to get on board with somebody like that, because a mother is going to be a huge part of your life and your children, who are super important people for you.
For sure.
So you need to make sure that she's going to hit those areas that you know you're going to need when you get older. And if she's not hitting those, or obviously not ever going to be good at that type of stuff, be careful. Be very careful. Just make sure you find that quality woman. Because if you're just going to get somebody who's hot and is mediocre at best,
you're pretty much guaranteed getting a divorce.
Yeah. Great advice. You guys are killing it. You guys are killing it.
Big Z, good having you on, man.
This has been my pleasure. In the words of the greatest restaurant that has ever come out of America, it has been my pleasure.
I agree, man.
Okay, so thank you, and we will upload this podcast as soon as possible.
Oh, I will. Yeah. You guys take it easy.
Have a good one. Okay, bye-bye.